I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
Matt Nagy opted to run out the game against the Rams after Mitchell Trubisky's third pick last week. Will that influence Mitch's performance versus the Packers, and is he in danger of losing confidence?
Boy, I really hope not. I thought Mitch did seem like he did lose some confidence, and it's not unusual for athletes to lose confidence over a course of a game for a minute or two. It's just you have to play a lot of mental tricks with yourself, but Mitch had a bad performance. I like the way he handled it out of that performance. I like the idea that he knew he didn't play well, and he knew he had a lot of things to clean up. And, it's just, David, when you really think about it, this defense can go a long way provided they protect the football. And they were going to win that game provided they protected the football. So at some point, the coach had to intercede. I wonder if that has to happen during the playoffs. I wonder if the Bears have to operate differently moving forward down the stretch here into a playoff run when the competition gets a hell of a lot better, when especially they go on the road. You know, these mistakes, we can laugh about them and they won despite them. And I don't think you come into a game like this and change your mind about your scheme or what you're trying to do. But I think they have that running game in their hip pocket if they ever want to go to it. And I think that at some point they're going to need it. We've been saying that all year long. They certainly did need it against the Rams, and it was there. And they ended up with a 100-yard rusher, which is not – that's not a ton of yards. It's enough. So I really hope he plays well this week. And, we talked to Big Z yesterday, and it really stood out in my mind what he said when he said that the Packer players that he talked to feel that Mitch is good with the first read. And then that's when he struggles beyond that. That's not really a great thing to have.
It's kind of the knock on him or the book on him.
And that's scary.
Yeah, it is. I like his state of mind this week. I think that, you know, you heard a guy when he was talking pretty locked in, pretty serious about his approach this week. Pretty probably upset about the way he played against the Rams because he did not have a good game. It's probably one of his worst. And when you look at his mindset, I think we probably overstated and there was so much focus on the thing, the Favre nickname nonsense. And I think that kind of obscured the idea. This is a guy who's come back to practice, pretty committed to improving. And he knows what he didn't do against the Rams. And he knows that he can be better because we've seen him be better. That's the difference between the first time I think that they played the Packers at the beginning of the season and now, is that there's proof, there's evidence, there's a body of work that he can rely upon and go back to and say, okay, I can do this because, you know, I had these big games. I had these passer ratings of 100 plus, and that's what I want to get back to. He doesn't have to be great. He just has to be good enough. He needs to eliminate the noise, and he does have a running game that I think set forward against the Rams. So I don't think he's in danger of losing his confidence, but I think that this is an opportunity to start regaining a lot of the momentum that he maybe lost with the injury. The injury, you know, kind of put him back. That's 3 weeks without playing, you know, NFL quarterback, and then you come back in a moment as big as the one last Sunday night. That's not insignificant for a guy who is, you know, still learning the job by, you know, to a large degree. So I don't look too much at, I think Matt Nagy did what he had to do to win that game. I think he'll do what he has to do to win this one. And if that means backing off and not asking him to do too much, that's probably the formula the Bears can best use to win.
It also looked like Nagy was trying to run out the game a bit at the end of the first half, but Trubisky still ended up throwing an interception. It seemed like they were trying to run clock instead of trying to force the ball down the field and score some points there. they're obviously very confident that they're going to win the division, and they should be. I think Nagy wants to see Trubisky have some success at Soldier Field. This is going to be, he plays well there, and it's going to be his last home game until the wild card game, which is kind of crazy to think about. I think he's going to get some confidence going back to that week one game. And the Bears had that 20-0 lead. Some people criticized Nagy for taking his foot off the gas pedal in the second half as Aaron Rodgers led the comeback as he was hobbled there in the second half. But I think going back to that game against Green Bay when their defense was even healthier, that's going to give him some confidence. So I don't think he's in danger of losing confidence at this point.
Is Mitch losing confidence in himself, or is Matt Nagy losing confidence in Mitch in certain situations? That's what I think the question is here to me anyway. I mean, every game is independent in and of itself, and you plan differently and you react differently depending on how the game is kind of unfolding. And I think last Sunday night, Mitch definitely had a little bit of rust on him, definitely was not his best game. David, you mentioned it was one of the worst games he's had all year. I think it was the worst game he's had in his career, which is only dating back a couple years now, but he just looked completely hapless at times. I expect it to be... Dustin says no. Yeah, he played great. I expect it to be a different story on Sunday. Green Bay certainly doesn't have the defensive playmakers that the Rams have, and I think another week removed from coming off of that injury will do him a little bit of good. I don't think that the Bears are losing confidence in Mitchell Trubisky. I don't think anybody should be losing confidence in Mitchell Trubisky quite yet. He's still a very young quarterback. He's still got a lot of development to go. You can't rush these things. And I think every game, even when he does play like crap, like he did last Sunday, I think that he's going to be able to take things from that, you know, look at the tape, as they always say, and get better. You know, it's still a process here, and he's still kind of in the infancy of that. So I'm not losing any confidence. I don't think the team is, and I don't think Mitch is losing confidence in himself either. I think he's a very confident guy. Just don't call him Favre.
I don't think you can be a starting quarterback in the NFL and have your worst game in your career when the team wins a game under the lights on Sunday Night Football against arguably the best team in the league. I don't think you connect all those dots. Was he bad? Yes. Was he good? No. But the worst game that he's ever played? I don't think so. Now, are we saying that Matt Nagy should not have run out the clock? I mean, that's exactly what he should have done at that point in the game. I mean, that's... What else would he have done? Put the ball in the air? So I don't understand that part. Here's the concern. The Bears have a good enough defense to win a Super Bowl, right? I think we could all agree on that. The question is, do they have a good enough quarterback to win the Super Bowl? Because I also think we all believe that they have a good enough play caller to win the Super Bowl. So now it's that play caller's responsibility to call plays that he believes Mitch can excel at. But at the same time, do those plays tick Mitch off because maybe they have to dumb down the playbook in order for Mitch to succeed and stay out of his own way? So this could be interesting, Nagy's play calling and how Mitch reads into it. But guess what? Winning solves everything.
I mean, that's a pretty general question.
What did you make of Pro Football Focus early Pro Bowl picks that included Khalil Mack, Eddie Jackson, and Kyle Fuller, but no Akeem Hicks? If not now, when for Hicks?
Yeah, I find it pretty ridiculous. I think it when you look at the way they chose their team, I have a lot of respect for how much research they do, but it's strictly numerically based. It's you know, the obsession with analytics continues. If you look at the defensive interior linemen in the National Football League, and the NFC, and you don't see a Pro Bowl player when you turn on the tape and watch Akeem Hicks, I don't know what you're watching. I mean, I know that Aaron Donald is having a historically good year, and he stands alone, and he may be, you know, coming into last week's game, he was potentially the MVP of this league. So I don't have any problem with Aaron Donald. Fletcher Cox and Kenny Clark are outstanding players, but when you have, you know, arguably one of the most dominant players on the most dominant defense in the NFL, and he is not good enough to be on your Pro Bowl team, I don't know what you're looking at. So if not now, when? It's now. It's now. Akeem Hicks' time is now. I don't know that he can have much better season than he's having, I don't know that he could do much more than he's done. So Khalil Mack, Eddie Jackson, Kyle Fuller, all very deserving. But really, you know, except for Mack, of course, I think he stands in company kept only by maybe Donald. But Akeem Hicks is right behind him. So if he's not on anyone's Pro Bowl team, it seems flawed to me.
I totally agree. I think Akeem has played at a Pro Bowl level. And I think that, you know, one of the weird things here is you look at defensive tackles and you mention them, and Akeem technically would be a defensive end because outside linebacker is where they have Khalil Mack. So their defensive ends are DeMarcus Lawrence. He's having a great year. Cameron Jordan, Brandon Graham. You know, they are basing it statistically on all that stuff. They're not looking at the different types of defense, and they're not looking at the fact that they're looking at sacks more than anything else is what I can determine from that. And I don't know that the Bears would be as good defensively. I don't know that they'd have won games without Khalil Mack had it not been for Akeem and what he's done all year long. And I know we're a little bit biased because we talk to him on a weekly basis, but he's played at a very high level, and he does deserve that nod. And in fact, if I'm rating their defensive players, I'm rating him as the second. I'm rating Khalil Mack, then Akeem, because it all starts up
front. I agree.
Then I got Eddie, and then I got Fuller.
Yeah. Why are those guys playing at the high level with the aggressiveness that they play?
Thank you. So I just think, and it is really, it's you know, I like that part of the question, the if not now, when, because it's the same thing with beating Aaron Rodgers at home. If not now, when? Just get it done. And same thing for the voters. Get it done.
How soon is now, Molly?
Johnny Margitar.
Agree. I mean, I get that this is not a list of 1 through 11 best defensive players in the NFL, but and the positioning has something to do with it. Of course, Aaron Donald has something to do with it. But we're talking about the best defense, and he's the second best player on the best defense. And because they're going by the numbers, it's not a situation where, well, I don't know if you can have one defense have four guys there. And I certainly understand why all the Bears are there. Eddie Jackson, Fuller, and of course, Khalil Mack. But I also have Hicks number two as far as the position goes. Fletcher Cox is a great player, and same with Clark, but Hicks has had a better season.
Aaron Donald is one of the best, five players in the league, probably either side of the ball. I don't really think you can make an argument against him. And I mean, Fletcher Cox, for as poor as Philadelphia has been this year, he's still one of the best players in the league. And Kenny Clark, too, is another guy they have above Hicks here in their defensive tackle rankings. Even though Hicks is technically listed as an end, I mean, it's all kind of convoluted. But I think for a thing like the Pro Bowl and similar to MLB's All-Star Game, NBA All-Star Game, I think that playing on a better team should get you a little bit more, I guess, leeway or clout and more of an upper hand and fast track in getting to this game, because it really is supposed to be a display of the best players from the best teams. You don't want all these scattered players from, you know, teams that are, you know, have 3, 4, 5 wins at this point in the season. You want players that have contributed more so, not only on a individual level, but on a team level as well, that has helped their teams get to these playoff positions. And that's where I think Akeem Hicks definitely deserves a more of a consideration for the Pro Bowl. And I think he will get there eventually. Pro Football Focus, you know, people have differing opinions on it. It is kind of like the analytics Fangraphs type thing for the NFL, which
a lot of people don't care for.
Of people don't care for it at all. Yes, it's exactly right. So I think when the Pro Bowl does eventually come around, where is it? Orlando this year? Is that where they're doing it now? It's great. I think when that comes to fruition, finally, Akeem Hicks will be there, and he will finally get his recognition, and it'll be well-deserved.
I know Akeem has said on this show that he wants to be a Pro Bowler. I think he should really want to be a All-Pro as opposed to a Pro Bowler. I'm hoping that the Bears have other things going on at that time of year, so he won't even be able to play in the Pro Bowl, meaning Super Bear, Super Bowl, right? The Bear, whoever's in the Super Bowl won't be playing in the Pro Bowl. The Pro Bowl, I could care less. Me personally as the fan, I don't care. But the other problem is, what is Akeem Hicks? he's a football player, right? But is he an inside football player? Is he a tackle or is he an end? And that matters because that's who you're going up against. And technically, I think he's an end, listed as an end, even though in my world of football, he's a tackle.
I think they changed that this year. I think they, on the Pro Bowl ballot, they list him as a tackle.
Okay, well, then there's not a question that he should be in as a tackle. As an end, I get where he might not get in as an end, but as a tackle, of course he should be in. But in the grand scheme of things, I could care less about the Pro Bowl. All pro is where it's at.
Dustin, great question.
All right, what is your prediction of the Bears game, and what will be the final score?
You know, I'm going to go with the Bears, and I'm going to go with a fairly healthy win here. I think I'll go with the Bears scoring, 17-11.
17-11?
Okay, yeah.
Packers going for two or safety?
Something happens.
I will go changing of the guard. Momentum continues. Defense dominates. 30-19 Bears.
Nice.
Normally, I'd look at this situation. Team coming off a huge win, prime time against the Rams. It sets up for a letdown. But division clincher, your number one rival, revenge factor from week one, and you think you should have won that game up at Lambeau Field. So I don't see a letdown for the Bears, especially after what Akeem Hicks told you guys the other day. And they're still talking about what Rodgers had to say about coming into Soldier Field and taking down the Bears. I have a tough time going against Rodgers when the line is 6. I think the Bears win. They clinch the division. But I'm looking at a score of 23-20, maybe a late Green Bay touchdown to make it look decent.
I'll go 17-12. I just realized that I was picking. No, I don't. I want to pick against the line. I don't want to pick the line. I didn't realize. I thought it was 6-5.
The Packers are 0-6 away from beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin this year. And the Bears, coincidentally, are 6-1 at home. That's one of the best marks in the NFL. You know, usually you throw out things like that during these Bears-Packers games. And, you know, there's the rivalry aspect and Packers maybe getting a little bit more of that new bounce from firing Mike McCarthy, who was stealing a living for so many years. But I just don't think it's going to happen. I think that the Bears' defense is going to be too locked in. The leadership committee.
Stealing a living?
The leadership committee won't allow it to happen.
Like the Super Bowl that he won?
When was that? When Moses was still wearing short pants? One Super Bowl gets you lifetime employment?
The Bears were in the playoffs? That was
one Super Bowl victory almost a decade ago does not earn you another decade
How about
of
Ditka?
Mediocrity.
How many does Ditka have?
Screw Ditka.
Okay,
all right. Get out! Get out!
Boy, as if the Texans didn't already like
that. Thank you. I mean,
Ditka was such an overrated.
Hey, the man is just had a heart attack. Show some respect.
I just showed you that email we got yesterday about your asinine comments.
That emailer also said we should get a nun on the show to replace Joe Fortenbaugh.
I didn't go to Crystal Lake now.
How dare you? There was a Chick-fil-A right next to that Sprint store, and I ate good.
We make fun of my math on the show, so I hope everybody's okay with it. 24-20, Bears, 24-20. This is a teaser, okay? I'm going Packers plus 12.5, and we'll bring that total down, and we're going to go over Bears 24, Packers 20. They win the division on Sunday at Soldier Field.
I didn't give a score. I'm sorry. 31-17.
Who makes fun of your math? I mean, I don't think that's
it actually worked out. When I said Cody Parkey was going to kick a game-winning field goal, and he didn't, you know, remember?
Because I didn't have it exactly. Because that's
right.
Not making fun of your math. That's just making fun of your logic.
For the record, I was making fun of your math.
He kicked a field goal that won him the game, put it out of distance.
Okay.
All right, let's move along.
That's a hard question to ask.
It's a pretty important question to answer, though.
If Jabari Parker indeed is no longer part of the rotation, what are the Bulls' realistic options with a guy making $20 million? Who does it reflect worse upon? Parker himself, Jim Boylan, or the front office?
Well, it reflects bad on everybody. I think this is a bad situation that's bound to get worse if they don't handle it right. This is number one on Jabari Parker because he's a guy that has not been a willing defender. He's got a coach that wants willing defenders, and if he's not willing to defend, then he's going to sit, and I think that's part of this. Number two, the front office looks bad for bringing in a guy and paying $20 million to somebody that is now getting 4 minutes a game and going to see his playing time dwindle unless Jim Boylan exercises the prerogative to change his mind, as he says that he has. So this is and Boylan, you know, you got a guy averaging 15 points a game for a team that's 6-23, and you're going to sit him. Now, you could go and say, well, he's averaging 15 points a game and they still are bad, or you can look at where they're going to get the points now. So I think that having this move come this early in his tenure seems as drastic as everything else that he has done. And it's been a culture shock, not as much a culture change. Realistically, he can be traded as early as Saturday because he's a free agent that signed last summer. Saturday is the first day the Bulls can trade him. Is there a market for Jabari Parker? How much money would they have to eat? What would they get in return? All these are good questions. I don't think they're answerable right now. I don't know if they're looking to do that. I think this also feels a little punitive. I think it seems a little petty. It says that, to me, Jabari Parker was part of this player revolt last weekend, and this is what you get for that, because he wasn't a Fred Hoiberg guy. He resisted the Fred Hoiberg. Maybe he's going to resist to every coach. But this is not the direction you wanted to see the Bulls headed when they get back from Mexico. This is more dysfunction they don't need. And this is not a way to celebrate the most positive week that you've had, according to your front office.
Yeah, you know, they came close in a couple of games that they won them. It might have been a pretty positive week. It's pity that they didn't win another game. But, you know, listen, Jabari, you know, I don't care if you're Jabari or Peter or Fess or Sarah Jessica, whatever it is, you are not going to make $20 million a year again, son, if you don't get your act together in a hurry. You should want to go and practice because you should want to get into shape. Part of the problem is that he is one of the – when the coach says the guys aren't in shape, who do you think of? Jabari. Sarah Jessica's in great shape. And I just think that is Fess left this earth? I don't know. But I'd imagine he's in better shape, too. Regardless.
2010.
Yeah. Okay. And I'd still say he's in better shape than Jabari.
He didn't even get to see Mike McCarthy's fabled Super Bowl victory. What a shame.
Fabled but real.
Yeah, exactly.
It counted.
Elusive.
Kevin Badmouth Super Bowl winners.
I could win
the
a
fact
Super Bowl
of the matter,
Aaron
the fact
Rodgers.
That, well, you, maybe with Barry, if Barry Switzer could, Kevin could. But other than that, I'm saying no.
And Seifert.
George Seifert is actually a fairly decent defense coordinator.
Back to the Bulls. Situation.
Back to the Bulls. Yeah, we digress.
Back to George Seifert.
I put a lot of this on Jabari. I really do. And I think that while you're out worried about, I have the same read, David. I mean, he's part of the insurrection. He may be the leader of it. Who knows? But someone had to pay the price, and they've chosen him. Why have they chosen him? Because he's not living up to his salary. The salary creates expectations. You're making $20 million a year. You got a shot to make $20 million next year. Play better. Be willing on defense. Be willing to run suicides. When you lose by 56, come in ready to work. Don't get on, oh, we don't have to practice. Come on now. So I think he ought to look at his, listen, the guy's, you know, his pocket's tight. He's got a long way to go. I think he's made a lot of money, but why not make more? It's crazy that he has effectively been throwing away his career coming here. Bad signing, yeah. They rolled the dice on it, okay. But the player has to take responsibility, sadly.
So I checked in with Stephen A. Smith. He likes the move of sitting Parker for Horace Grant, that he needs more playing time.
Very funny.
But this is the front office and Boylan making a mistake. See, this isn't Boylan just stepping out on his own. Well, I'm going to make this decision. I'm the head coach, and this is what I want to do. We know in lockstep with the front office. So the front office is saying, yeah, what were we doing? I mean, it was comical last night to hear Boylan tell Casey, well, there's no spot for him. There was never a spot for him. There wasn't. You had Markkanen. You had Bobby Portis before. So I guess at least they're admitting a mistake. Give them 15 more years. This is more so on the front office. Did you do any scouting on the guy? Did you talk to anybody in the Bucks organization why they were willing to just let him walk away?
Yeah, I mean, this goes back to the front office. I'm with you, Joe. you know, this is the same thing they tried doing with Dwayne Wade a couple of years ago. They get a local guy who's a free agent. They overpay him. They think that they're going to be able to pander to the local fan base. But, oh, this guy's from Chicago. I'm going to go and I'm going to get behind this guy. And I guess
they rolled the dice on a highly drafted player.
Well, listen,
that has a lot of potential.
Jabari Parker is an NBA player,
ready to play, and can't play.
He's still an NBA player, especially on this roster. He is one of the more skilled players.
Is he
on
a
this
20
roster.
Million player? Never again. He's not. He's got to earn it. He has a chance to earn it next year, Kevin.
Somebody else.
How can he not be
million,
responsible for that?
Who's the one who signed him and gave him $20 million?
They rolled the dice on a guy whose talent apparently exceeds his work habits.
Well, you know,
I love the kid.
I wanted him to fit in here. From the jump, I thought it didn't really make much sense, but I was hoping for the best. But, I mean, you have to. Jabari Parker didn't go up to the Bulls and just sign up and on his own accord and be like, okay, I want to make $20 million. I'm going to be on the Bulls now. Somebody made that decision. John Paxson made this decision to pander to a local fan base and just to have a Chicago guy here in lieu of a team, of a signing that would actually fit with this young group of players, and it would actually be a positive influence. And this was, Jabari Parker's not completely without blame himself. I'm not saying that either, but the majority of the eyes here have to point at Gar and Pax, as per usual, for the past decade and a half.
There's so much here, and we're short on time. It looks badly, as David pointed out when we started answering this question. It's bad on everybody, top to bottom. Everybody looks bad. But the one thing I'll say, just connect some dots here, folks. There was going to be a player's revolt. Who do you think was probably at the charge of that player's revolt? Okay, the guy who is out of shape, who didn't want to run, Jabari Parker. And I think this is a direct reason why he's now sitting. He's being punished. But we don't have any time, so I have to.
He was involved. I don't know that he was at the front, but yeah, he was definitely on board.
Who led it then?
Zach LaVine.
Ask a stupid question.
The Chicago Wolves boast the highest scoring offense in the AHL. Join the Chicago Wolves Saturday night or Sunday afternoon at Allstate Arena as they host Tucson. Santa will be available for pictures for both games. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. Was Bryce Harper trolling White Sox fans by commenting on Nicky Delmonico's Instagram account? Or does it signal legitimate interest in the team, if not an imminent signing?
I'm going with imminent signing, and that's my final answer.
Well, one can hope. He's trolling. This is what he does. He's good at it. He's got a personality. This is why people like Bryce Harper. He's got an awareness. He has some fun with this. Plus, he's friends with the guy. We're teammates. They're the same age. They probably have the same sort of interests. This is no different than him posing with Chris Bryant or naming his dog Wrigley. He probably has another dog named Nicky for all we know. So I would not read much into this.
You're only allowed to comment on Instagram if you're going to sign with that player. Those are the rules here.
That's right. That's it.
No, this is Harper just trolling. He loves to have fun and just mess with people and get a reaction. He does it to Cubs fans, Sox fans. You see him always changing hats, and fan bases go up in arms about it. He's just having fun.
I don't know if I'd go so far as to call it trolling, but yeah, maybe he's having a little fun. He knows who he is and what he will command, and he knows the market for him, and he knows he's going to be very rich very soon, even richer than he already is. And they're just friends. Maybe he's trying to just drum up more interest. Maybe Scott Boras told him, go out there and comment on every one of your friends' Instagram accounts just to get the internet and the talk radio show swirling about, and it clearly worked. And as optimistic as some people are regarding Bryce Harper coming to the White Sox and White Sox Twitter as a whole, I'm still not getting my hopes up whatsoever.
I'm all for the trolling. But at the same time, I truly do want Bryce Harper to be playing baseball. If not over on the north side, then I want him over at 35th.
Why does everyone think that the Cubs are lying? Why are you calling Theo and Jed liars? I don't get it. When they say they have a budget issue, no one believes them.
I just said I'd like to see him playing it over at Wrigley.
Yeah, no, I guess what I don't understand.
It doesn't make sense. I know I'm bad at math, but it doesn't make sense. They have to have money. How could they be out of money? Where did all the money go?
Well, that's a lot of money, though.
That's a huge investment.
How much you charge for beer over there?
You're giving
David?
$20 million to Yu Darvish, $20 million to Jason Hayward, and 12.5 to what's his name, Chatty.
Isn't it people leaving the opportunity open for them to change the budget situation? Just moving money around?
Hayward? Hayward trade?
There's a network.
Yeah, it's not happening, but yeah.
I'm just saying, if they honestly say they have a budgetary problem, you're calling them liars by saying that...
If they do go and sign Bryce Harper now, you'll never believe another word that comes out of their mouth.
I want transparency. Wow. I want to see the books.
If they were able to attach, let's say,
open the books to Dustin.
For instance, if they were able to attach, let's say, Wilson Contreras to Jason Hayward, would they be able to move that contract? Would that be appealing for a team? That wouldn't even do it for you?
No.
Wow.
If you were running the White Sox and that was offered to you, would you take it?
No chance.
I would love Wilson Contreras.
Yeah, and they don't have a catcher.
What you still owe Jason Hayward, though?
Well, but I mean, think about it. You got nothing but money. You're going to give somebody.
He could be your DH.
You know, Wilson Contreras could be your.
Yes.
You know, the reason the Sox need Bryce Harper is that he is a brand. You can sell that. You can bring people in. You can get young fans. You can get people excited about the team. You can get a better television deal.
I'm not arguing Bryce Harper.
Does that hold if you brought in a Wilson Contreras? That's why they're willing to spend the money on that guy and not on other guys, in my opinion. But I'm just trying to find an advertising campaign. He'll follow you on Instagram, do you think? Mullion Haw, that's the 5 at 5, 312-644-6767 at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.